Amen. Okay, so have you ever been like get in your car, okay? You get in your car, you open up your garage door, and you drive out of your little community, and you get at the first stop sign or stoplight where you kind of have to make a decision about where you're going to go. And have you ever got to that stop sign or stoplight and literally had this thought? Where am I going? Anybody? Yes, I'm using this illustration because I'm thinking it like it's all over the place. Like, sometimes it's not in that spot. Sometimes you're already at your destination. You're in Walmart. You got the cart. You say hello to the guy greeting you. And you literally are standing there. You just greeted the guy. You're at the door. And why am I here? I don't even know why I'm here right now. Sometimes it plays out a little different. Literally this past week, I called Jackie, and she didn't pick up right away. She calls me back a couple minutes later. She calls me back. She's like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, I have no idea. I have no clue why I called you. And I literally stopped for like about probably 10 seconds. I'm like, just give me a sec, babe. I know I'm going to think it. Babe, I have no clue. I love you. I'll talk to you later. I mean, that was it. You just have no clue. This, I think, is something Abraham is thinking about a lot. What am I doing here? Where are you taking me? Where am I going? What's going on? Abraham is a fascinating guy to follow. I got a map up here that I want to kind of to look at here really quick. Abraham, if you're going to go open up to Genesis chapter 11, you'll find Abraham ends up with his dad and some of his family in Ur, way over here. I hope this map kind of makes sense. That's the Mediterranean Sea, right? Over here is the Persian Gulf, okay? So this is kind of like a big blown-up picture here. He ends up over here in Ur. Well, his dad, Terah, ends up moving his family as they're kind of heading towards Canaan, which is kind of, he goes about it in an interesting way. But they end up moving up to Haran. And up there, you see that at the very top, the little pinnacle point there? Haran is where they end up setting up kind of life. And Abram, in our text, in Genesis chapter 12, is 75 years old when God shows up to call him out of. And it's a little bit, kind of can't quite figure out where exactly it is. Oh, go back to that map. I'm sorry. But it's a little bit ambiguous if he's coming out of Ur or Haran, but most likely he's coming out of Haran. And God shows up to him and says this. And now go ahead to check this out. God shows up in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And he basically says, the Lord says to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. God shows up and says, go. God shows up and says, I'm going to bless you. But I'm not going to give you all the details. I'm not going to give you all the details. See, it'd be easy. I mean, just imagine. God shows up to you and says, I'm going to bless you. Yeah. Ooh, boo. Yeah, baby. Hey, this isn't bad. I like this. You know, go from here. Okay, a little bit of a challenge, but hey, blessing. And I will show you where I'm taking you. Kind of as we go. Less exciting, right? See, we want God's blessings. We want God to even maybe say, hey, go, get up off your butt a little bit. Okay, fine, I'll do that. But to not have the details, Lord? See, we latch onto the details like crazy, don't we? We want to know how everything's going to play out. You sure tell me how I'm going to be blessed, but you got to give me a little more than that. You got to give me how this is going to play out, what it's going to look like, God. And God says, no, what I want you to do is I want you to head towards question mark. Heading towards question mark. Anybody there this morning? Anybody in question mark? Like you're in the land of question mark. Is God calling you maybe out of something and into something else this morning? Into a land that he's kind of going to show you as his plan kind of unfolds. Potentially over time. Potentially over details that he just gives when he kind of feels like it. I was thinking, is anybody in this room just not sure exactly where they're going? They're not sure exactly where they are. And it's fascinating because one of the points that I want to just share with you this morning is that faith, guys, and this is so key, faith doesn't have everything figured out. See, we're studying this family. We're trying to learn what does faith look like. This is a takeaway point for today. Faith doesn't have everything figured out. Somebody this morning, actually it was Lisa back there, Lisa shared, I thought, just a phenomenal thought. There's a difference between faith and confusion. Isn't there? There's a difference between faith and being confused. Faith doesn't have all the details figured out. This should be a learning, especially maybe for somebody who's just like, what does faith look like? What does this mean for me in my life? Does it mean that everything gets figured out? No, it doesn't. God comes to Abram and says, I will show you as you go, and there's promises of blessing. There's some really cool stuff attached to it. But there's a lot of question marks too. Question marks are included in faith, folks. This is something that people doubt, struggle. Where are you at today? And listen, I was thinking about this. You could be in any situation. This is why this is so hard to preach. Because I could be talking to somebody who God is calling out of maybe sin. Okay, there's a classic. Somebody might be struggling with some addiction this morning. And God might be coming to you and saying, you need to get out of this, and I'm going to take you to this land over here. And you might say, okay, I'm going to struggle with that. What does faith look like in the midst of that? But it doesn't have to just be that. It could be something really good. Life might be great. Life might be. I actually feel pretty comfortable. I mean, just imagine how difficult it is for Abram when God comes to him and says, I want you to leave what you know. This isn't like young buck, young chap guy that God shows up to. He's 75 years old. God says, I know you got a lot of life behind you. I know you know where McDonald's is in your area. I know you have all the bowling alleys figured out. I know you got all the right restaurants. I got it. But I'm going to take you over here. He's not calling Abraham necessarily out of sin, although he's probably actually saturated with paganism and is struggling probably actually very much so with this. But what is God calling Abram out of? And what is he calling him towards? What is he calling you out of? See, it's easy. I was thinking about this. I was thinking, God's always pushing us deeper. God's always pushing us away from details and towards trusting in him. He doesn't always give us the details because he knows that sometimes for you, the details are the very thing that's going to get in the way of you trusting in him. Do you get that? See, we think we're so great. We think we're so big. I've been around for 31 years. Who am I? I think I'm so tough. I got my intellect. But 31 years ago, I wasn't even around. 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, we weren't even here. And you think you're now also, oh, I got this all figured out and I got life figured out. What? God is coming in and he says to you, hey, I have something for you. I want to do something in your life, but you have to trust in me. Yeah, but God, I need the details. I get that there's going to be blessings. I get that, blah, blah, blah. Give me some of the details. Reveal some of the question marks. No. as it kind of unfolds. See, it's difficult to leave what we're comfortable with. It's incredibly challenging to leave what we know. I get that. Even if this morning God is looking at you and saying, I'm calling you out of anxiety. Let's just use that as an example. I'm calling you out of anxiety. See, sometimes we don't want to leave anxiety. We know anxiety. We know what that feels like. Yeah, sure, of course we want to be out. But I'm comfortable. I know what that looks like. I know what that feels like. I don't know what it's going to look like when I walk with the Lord over here. It's challenging to leave what we know, isn't it? Sometimes it's like, maybe I should just stay home, because I often find myself at Walmart not knowing what I'm doing. Well, I would say maybe get actually some help, if that's you. Get an accountability partner, or, you know, a little beeper, just, you know, get a beeper. But you see what I'm saying? It's challenging to leave what we know. Abram, he knew all of his buddies. He knew where all the restaurants were. And God came to him and said, come on out. And what does he do? This is fascinating. Here's a picture of faith. So Abram went. I love that line. If there's one line I've gone back to this week in preparing more and more and more for this, I keep going back to this. So Abram went. As the Lord had told him. So Abram left, just like God had said. Abram got up and did it. He left. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham's like, okay, I don't have all the details. I don't have everything figured out, but I'm going to go. I'm going to trust in Jesus. I'm going to trust in the one true God here. I'm going to trust in him, even without understanding all of, having it all figured out. Because faith doesn't have everything figured out. But there's not only challenges with leaving, there's also challenges when you get there. Right? Check this out. Starting at verse 6. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. To be built there an altar to the... Oh, so he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, I on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Then there was a famine in the land. What's going on? Okay, God, I'm going to go. And so he goes. What an incredible picture of faith. Going, trusting, even though he doesn't fully know what's going to happen. And then what? He starts walking through this land that God's going to promise to give him. And what does he see? A whole lot of people. This isn't just walking through Wyoming, you know, where it's kind of like, yeah, God might give this all to me. There's nobody here. No, he's walking around. And he's like, there's a city. They got an army. They got a king. They got stuff. This is all going to be ours. This is all mine. And he just keeps walking. He just walks all the way south, and he ends up in Egypt. Because what? Then there's a famine in the land. Right? He's 75 years old. God's promising him a son. He doesn't actually get that promise again until a little bit later when he's how old? 99 years old. So do the math on that one. 24 years he's wandering around being promised this land, which I've never been to Israel. Has anybody been there? Okay, right here. Is the land really worth fighting over? Is there a lot to it? Depends on what part. Yeah, but there's some parts that are pretty like this is Nebraska or something. I mean, right? It's like nothing. Like, give it up. Nebraska's nicer. Yeah, okay, thanks for that. So, I mean, it's kind of like you're walking through, like, this land blows. Right? You know what I'm saying? This land blows. This is going to be a promise. This is going to be awesome. There's people all over the place. You're promising me a son. I don't have any kids. My wife, she's 10 years younger than me. I'm 99 years old. I'm waiting 24 years for these details to play out. There's incredible challenges. Even when you arrive, even when you show up right where God wants you, it doesn't mean things are all nice and easy and rosy. Guys, this is so taught wrong around here. I sense that sometimes, that people aren't teaching this stuff right, where it's as if, like, once we have faith, once we make the move that God wants, that just, it's all pretty. Well, go check out Abram. No, it's not. But what's the difference? He simply trusts. Okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. And he does it. And he trusts God even in the face of uncertainty, even with question marks all over the place. Waiting on God. This is ultimately what Jesus wants from us. He ultimately wants us to trust in him. The one who has claimed he would die and then dies. The one who makes the claim that he will rise again and then rises again. The one who makes the claim that he will return but hasn't come back yet. I wonder what he's going to do. See, ultimately it comes back to, can we trust God? And that's what's so cool about these stories. Because even in the face of so much uncertainty, even in the face of problems left and right, which we're going to see even more of in the next couple weeks, even in the face of a family that is so dysfunctional, this is not a functional family. There's favoritism. There's desire for murder. There is hatred. There is sin abounding in this family. See? But ultimately, what is God doing? God is ultimately being faithful. And he is faithful. Isn't it amazing that Abram is revered by just probably over half of the world's population even today? And outside of Jesus Christ, maybe a little, you know, debate with Moses. I mean, Abram is like, he's like the main guy. Islam, Christianity, Judaism, this guy's revered. He is a blessing. And ultimately, we see this play out in the New Testament too, what this means and what this looks like. As in Jesus Christ, the Jews and the Gentiles, there is no longer that anymore. We're one in Christ Jesus. And literally, Abraham becomes a blessing to many nations. Does he ever see it? I mean, he sees some. He gets little pictures. But he never sees it completely, does he? When God makes some of these promises to you and to I, promises like, I'm with you always. I love you like crazy. And you're in a spot right now where it's like, I don't feel that way. He's calling you to trust in him. And he will slowly reveal that plan to you. This past week, Jackie and I, in our reading, at night after the kids go to bed and stuff, Jackie and I just open up our Bible and just read a little bit together. And in Psalm 106, it was just kind of, this stood out to me. I don't have it on the screen, sorry. Where does it say it here? Verse 13. Verse 12 first. Then they believed his words, they sang his praise. But then they soon forgot his works, and they did not wait for his plan to unfold. That's the NIV. They didn't wait for his plan to unfold. They didn't wait for his counsel. They didn't wait for him to say more. Rest in what Jesus has said to you. Rest in his promises. And trust in him that he's going to continue to get you through. God God knows that's what we need the most, trusting in him. He knows that, and he'll use anything, even keeping details from us so that we might trust in him. I want to pray for us now that we would do that, that would take place in our hearts.